very delighted that Brian Nobles is here today and just give us the privilege to hear about Gideon's ministry again. You know, maybe some of you men would like to be Gideons and you as couples would like to be part of that. It's an amazing ministry. Amazing ministry. He was mentioning Markham School. That's where I got a Gideon Bible when I was in seventh or eighth grade, Markham School. Back in those days, they let the Gideons come right on campus, be right by the gymnasium, and everybody got a Bible. And not everybody treasured it. I remember watching one kid who got a little, they gave out orange Bibles back then, and I watched him tear it in half and throw it in the trash can. But you know what? Gideons are willing to let people do that for the opportunity to give everybody a copy of God's Word. And praise God, a lot of people have been saved. And we've heard testimony after testimony of people who have read about Jesus and found hope in Christ. So and that's what it's about. So I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I'd like to talk about missionaries today. Gideons, of course, are missionaries. And so are you, a missionary. We're going to be using our Bibles and turning to a number of different places this morning. So I am really excited to be able to talk today. And toward the end, we're going to pray together for our missionaries. And so I'm really glad that we can talk and pray for them. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, would you look at verse 50 with me? I'm going to pray before I actually read the scripture. So you can just pause for a minute. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word, and I thank you, God, that you have touched our hearts with the gospel. And it's not by chance, it's by design. And thank you, God, that you have called us and you have saved us. And you have really put us into this crew of being missionaries, of sharing the gospel. And God, I thank you for hope. I thank you for this young man from the Philippines named Jacob who found Christ and his life was turned around and now he's serving you, kind of like the Apostle Paul, serving you in sharing Christ with needy young people. God, we pray for your blessing on him. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Wake us up. Allow us, Lord, to have energy to listen. And Father, I just pray that you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to read this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. It says this, "Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption." So you see that phrase in there? It says, "I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Would one of you summarize that for me? What does that mean? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. If you haven't been saved, and you haven't gone from being corruption to incorruption, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, there is no way you can go to heaven. You have to know Jesus. It says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Nobody in this flesh, like we see here today, is going to go to heaven. The only way you're going to go to heaven is if the second part of the verse has happened, and that is that you have been given a new body in Christ. Okay. Now look down at the last verse of this chapter. So it says that it's chapter 15, verse 50, and then 15, verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And in 1 Corinthians 15, this passage of Scripture that teaches what it means to be saved and how to be saved and who Jesus was. And the last verse, like the capstone verse of this passage is, "You be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And you know what, you guys? That's what I want my labor to be. I don't want my labor to be vain, to be labor that's going to that's going to just disappear, labor that's going to burn away. It says that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and that labor that we're in is sharing Christ with other people, so that people can go from being corruptible to incorruptible. It's an amazing mission. So we are in mission, you guys. Brian is, right? Brian is a missionary, and so are you. We are all missionaries, and we are in mission, and we get to know our mission and our missionaries. In fact, that's kind of my goal today. We're going to talk about some of our Pioneer Bible Church missionaries in just a few minutes. So we just had the privilege to hear what Gideon's International does, their purpose, and the hope that the gospel brings to the lost. Would you turn in your Bible to Matthew 28? In Matthew chapter 28, and this is very familiar to all of us, but I want you to see it. 28, beginning with verse 18, is this thing we call the Great Commission. It's where God tells us to go. So I want you to see a couple of things about this. Matthew 28, verse 18. By the way, when Jesus is speaking these words, he is talking to the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. He's talking to the people, not only them, but also to others who have been saved during that time. Just people. You guys, and this is talking about people. The 12 disciples were great guys, and they did a lot of amazing things, but they were people just like us. People that had encountered the living God. Look what it says. Would you just jump back to verse 17? Just one verse before. And it says this: when they saw him, they worshiped him. And some doubted. And you know what? That represents the rest of the world. It first of all, it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. And I know I talk a lot about other groups of people that don't worship Jesus. They don't believe that he's deity. But once again, here's an example where it says the disciples who'd walked with him for 3 years, they'd watched him be crucified, they watched him after his resurrection. And what does it say they did? They worshiped him. And you don't read right after that that Jesus jumped up and down and said, "Don't worship me. I'm not God. Only worship my Father." He didn't say that. He received their worship because he is God. All right? So you have this qualifying statement. It says they saw him and they worshiped him. And then it says, and some doubted. And the truth is, we have doubts, but we know who he is and who he claims to be. And then it says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, and this is what he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus, at the end, he says, I'm sending you disciples out. I'm sending the group that were standing around at that moment, I'm sending you out to tell people about the good news of Christ so that they can become incorruptible and not be corruptible anymore. And Jesus says to them, go, and he gives them these three things to do. He says, proclaim the gospel, baptize them, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and then he gives this really cool promise. So that when Brian goes to a hotel in South Lake Tahoe to distribute Bibles, he can know, just like we can know, he says, and lo, I will be with you every moment. You will never do this ministry alone. I am walking with you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So Jesus tells us that it is our challenge and our ministry to go. So as a church, we really have a great privilege. Across from the kitchen, we have kind of a wall and some pictures of some of our missionaries. And what it shows is the picture of the person and then a string that tells you where in the world they are. And so that's kind of neat to look at out there. And I want to talk about some of our missionaries, but we as a church, we send missionaries. And it is our privilege to send missionaries. So the most recent person that we've sent and kind of supported as they've gone is our Bud and Cindy Dean. And Bud and Cindy Dean have felt a call from God to be church planters. And so they have the Navajo people in their heart, and they are going to seminary to prepare educationally and to get some tools to go. And we as a church have sent them on, and a number of people have said, we would like to help support them. We're going to send them, but we're also going to help them with their tuition, and we're also going to help them with their finances and so on. Not pay all their bills, but to help them along the way. So we send. And secondly, we tell. It's interesting that when Mary Magdalene saw Jesus after he was resurrected, and it says that she saw him, and when she recognized, first thing she did was she hugged him, and he said, no, wait a minute, don't hug me yet, I haven't ascended to the Father. But then what did Mary do next? You remember? She did. She ran, and she told. And I think, God, that's what we get to do. That's what we get to do. We get saved, and we are transformed. We become people that are not corruptible anymore, but we have put on incorruption, and now we can tell the people around us. Pastor Rob mentioned that, and I'm just going to pick on Gideons for a minute because they happen to be here today. But you know what? I'm thankful for the investment that missionaries make. We make an investment to send missionaries, but the missionaries make an investment. They say, no longer am I going to kind of follow my own pursuits to follow my profitable career or be sure I've got a retirement account. But they invest, and I've always been really blessed that the Gideons International, all of the Gideons, and there are thousands now of Gideons, they all pay their own way. And they don't do that to toot their own horn. They just want every nickel to go to Bibles. And so when they drive to Lake Tahoe to distribute Bibles, they pay for their own gas. And when they are ministering to people, often they pick up the tab if they're going to take them to lunch. And when they take an offering, and usually they take an offering at all the Gideon's events. It's interesting. They call the event, then they take an offering, and that money goes to buy Bibles. The one other thing that is a tremendous blessing, it has been to me through the years, is that Gideon's, they call it the camp. The local camp in their area invites all the pastors of that community to come to a dinner. Have you been to one, Milt, before? A Gideon dinner. Yeah, it's a pastor. And they invite us to come, and you guys, it is a beautiful event. They invite me and Willie June and Rob and Shara and all the other pastors from the county. And they provide, it's usually like one time recently was at the Sequoia in Placerville. You know where the Sequoia is at? And you know how they finance that? The Gideons pay for the dinner for everybody. Now, I'm not trying to make Brian look something, but what happens is they're invested in the ministry. And they know that it's profitable. And what they're hoping is that local pastors will invite them to come and talk to you so that you can give and give for Bibles. So there's an investment, and that's what happens with missionaries. So we send, we tell, and we go to the lost. And that's my job, that's your job, that's your job. We go to people that are lost. Would you look at Luke chapter 10, verse 9, please? Matthew, Mark, Luke. So at this point in the Gospels, this is where Jesus is sending out the disciples. This is where the 70 disciples are sent out. Jesus is going to send them out two by two. But I just want to read the very first verse in chapter 10. Luke 10:1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And so you've got Jesus, not only is he going to do the work, but he sent these others out. And then he says these words that, again, we've seen so many times. Verse 2, he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So he really just sets the stage and he says, you know what? Here is our purpose. Our purpose is to go. Our purpose is to send. Our purpose is to support. Our purpose is to put on our shoes and go out and preach the gospel, because the harvest is ripe. There are so many that need to hear the word of God and have hope in Christ. So many. In that same verse, chapter, would you look down at verse 9? And in verse 9, it's kind of like this purpose statement. He says to the disciples, these two things. I want you to go and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And oftentimes, that's what happens with missionaries, is that they have kind of a dual role, that they go to heal the sick and preach the gospel. And it's very exciting, because if you look at our missionaries on the board outside here in the hallway, and you were to think about their ministries, think about Stephen and Susan Vinton in Tanzania. Now, they are motivated by the gospel. Stephen's dad was a missionary, and they went, and God put it on their hearts, because so many kids in Tanzania and other African countries can't go to school. And so they said, we're going to go and we're going to build schools. His wife got there and said, there are so many people with AIDS, and they have no one to help them. And she began to advocate for them and help them have a life, because it was not only AIDS caused from bad sexual practices, but it was wives who were being infected and children who were being born with AIDS, and they needed help. And so Stephen and Susan Vinton are doing this. They're going and they are healing the sick, and they are sharing the gospel. If you were to look at, just pick one of our other missionaries, the Penners. The Penners have gone to Japan, and they are helping people who are deaf. And they are going over there, and their mission is amazing. They are befriending the deaf people, who are an outcast group of people, and then they are translating the Bible into sign language. Realize the challenge of this. The Penners, English speaking, go to Japan, learn Japanese enough so that they can translate into Japanese sign language the Bible, so that the people can hear the word of God. Okay? So you have two things happening. You have people going and helping the sick, and people going to preach the gospel. And that's what you see here in Luke chapter 10, verse 9. And Jesus actually gives them the authority. See, Jesus gave them the power to do those things, heal the sick and preach the message. A few pages further back, would you go to John chapter 17, please? I'm going to have to put on the gas here. I got to get finished with this quick. So Jesus, when he sends, in John 17, there's this amazing prayer for the disciples, amazing prayer for us. And he's praying specifically for the disciples, and then he ends up praying for people who will be disciples in the future. So a few verses to look at really quick. 9 to 23 is the whole passage, but look at verse 15. In Jesus' prayer for the disciples, he says this, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So Jesus is praying for those that are going to be sent out. He's also praying for us. We're the ones that are also sent out. Would you just notice what he said here? I do not pray that you would take them out of the world. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm not praying that you would keep them from hardship. I'm not praying that you would keep them from persecution. I'm not praying that you would keep them from the different perils that could come into their life. What I'm praying for, God, is that you would keep them from the evil one. So, because he has promised to sustain us. If we go through persecution, he will give us strength. If we are set before the magistrates or the rulers. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. What he says is, God, protect them. Protect them not from physical harm, but protect them from spiritual harm, from spiritual influence, from Satan's, however Satan may attack or cause fears or doubts or whatever. So Jesus prays for them specifically. In verse 17, it says this. Jesus prays, sanctify these disciples by your truth. Your word is truth. And the word sanctified, it means make holy or to set apart. And Jesus is just praying this blessing upon the disciples who go out. And he says, God, sanctify them. Set them apart. You guys, we are set apart. We are different from the world. We are called to something that's very special. God, set them apart. Make them holy. He says, and sanctify them with truth. Your word is truth. And I am so glad that this is the truth, you guys. This is the book that holds up under scrutiny. There are lots of people that try to attack this book, but it is so sound. Not only have 2 billion been put out by the Gideons, but this is like the most sold book ever in the world. And it just can, and those are just simple things, but we are set apart by truth. And that is a great thing. In verse 20 of chapter 17, it says this, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And it's beautiful that the word of God, when you send it out, it never returns what? Void. It's always got a purpose. It's always got power. I love what you said, Brian. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that the Bible is the only book that when you read it, the author shows up. Wasn't that great? That was a great line. So Jesus prays, and he prays not only for the disciples that are being sent out now, but he says all those who will believe because of your word. And praise God that he is doing that along the way. So in verse 23 of that same chapter, it says this. He's talking about the disciples, and he says, I in them, so Jesus is going to be in the disciples, and you in me, the Father is in him, in Jesus, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me. I just want to tell you, that is an incredible purpose statement. It's why the Gideons do what they do. It's why Pioneer Bible Church does what we do. It's why the Penners go out and the Vintons go out and the Bridges go out and the Grables go out and the Gilberts go out. It's why Cassie is in Crater Lake this summer. It's you guys, look right at those verses. It says, verse 23, that the world may know that you have sent me. That's it, guys. Our job is to help the world understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and that is the purpose. Yesterday, we poured 15 yards of concrete out here, and we're getting ready to put in a field, a grassy field, so our kids have someplace to play. And we put in sidewalks, and Al is building a ramp, and Brian and Brian, these two guys that were helping us, painted these buildings so they look great. Do you know why we're doing that? Because there are kids in Somerset who need to hear about Jesus. And anything we can do to be able to say, hey, we want to minister to you. We want to put an Awana circle and basketball lines on this new parking lot out here. It is going to be crazy to figure out where to park once we confuse the parking lines with all those lines. And do you know why we want to put those lines out there? Because we want to play four square, and we want to play volleyball in the grass, and we want a place to be. And so we're going to keep investing because people need to know Christ. And this verse says right here, that the world may know that you have sent Jesus Christ, the Savior, into the world. Isn't it great we get to be part of this ministry? Man, praise God. And by the way, Pastor Rob said we're $10,000 short. Yeah, that does come out of our pockets. We are the ones who give. And we just keep praying, God, make it clear what you want us to do. And he has made it clear. It was actually through Bud Dean, who went to Kentucky recently to be a church planter, that we were given these two buildings. It's cost a lot to bring them up to speed. But praise God, we have got 1,800 square feet that we can use for junior high and high school. And I am really excited. Yeah, okay. So here we go. That the world may know. Acts chapter 13. Would you jump there with me? Acts 13, 1. So you're going to have to turn fast, and I'm going to talk fast, okay? Because I really do want to finish this. Acts 13, 1 says, now in the church, I just want to tell you, it is God who established the church. He loves the church. The church is us, and we meet in this building, but we are the church. And it says, in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Christians had gathered there. There was Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger. There was Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So these guys are in the church, and they're there, and look what happens. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And it says, they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and sent them away. And that's what God continues to do. God is putting his hand upon people. The Holy Spirit is touching hearts and drawing us. And he is saying, it's time to go. It's time to go. I've called you. I want you. And then we, the brothers and sisters, we do exactly what we did with Buddy and Cindy Dean and their kids. We brought them right up in front and we said, come on up and let's circle them and let's put our hands on them and pray for them. And we prayed for them and we prayed that God would bless their effort and bless their ministry and bless their sacrifice. They sold their home. They left. They went like Abraham to a place that he knew not of, you know? And that's what we do. And so in this passage, that's exactly what we see is that the Holy Spirit sets some people apart. And so the church who sends and the church who supports, we get behind them and we give. By the way, why did God give us jobs? You know, I'm often surprised that a lot of our missionaries, I'm going to give you one example in a minute, have no retirement plans, you know? We'll talk more about that. But why does God give us jobs? Why do we have incomes? The Bible says so that we can be generous, so that we can be senders. And so here we are, and we're the senders. And praise God, we can take joy in giving, joy in what we do. And you know, we can't say that every penny goes to Bibles like Gideon's. But our deacons have done an excellent job to be sure that where our monies go are profitable for ministry. And so here we are. In Acts 1 through 3, we just see how God sends these men out. Turn to chapter 14. Once they've been sent out, and we've had the privilege to have this happen here at Pioneer Bible Church. It says, now when they had 14, verse 27. So what's happened now is the church has sent some guys out, probably men and women, send them out, and then they come home. And you know what they do when they come home? They tell. They tell. In verse 27, it says, now when they had come and gathered the church together, here we are, next Saturday, we're going to all gather together outside here. We're going to have a great barbecue. We're going to have many people from the past who have gone, been part of Pioneer Bible Church ministry, and God's moved them on to some other place. And we're going to gather and we're going to tell. It says, verse 27, now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them. And that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Maybe on Saturday we'll stay a long time. I don't know. We're going to have an ending time. But so here's what happens. They came and they told all that God had done. Years ago, Willie June heard a phrase. And I think it's a wonderful phrase. And it says this, much can be accomplished when it doesn't matter who gets the credit. Lots of us like to get a pat on the back. I do. And that's been a weakness of mine. It's kind of like when you do something good, you want somebody to come up and go, hey, good job, buddy, good job. But you know what? It's not about us. We're the messengers. The news is God's news, and it's great news. And it says that when the people gathered together, they recognized, hey, this is not about Paul. This is not about the great teacher and minister, Paul. This is about God. They reported all that God had done, how he had turned the hearts of the people toward him. and people turn to Christ. And you know, that's a great perspective to have for each of us, that we are gifted. What God has done is he has gifted us to be part of a team to have his message get out to a very lost, very dark, and a very needy world. And so that's what he has called us to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, keep going back. We just have a couple more verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this kind of nails down that very same thing. Look at verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. By the way, you know who's writing 1 Corinthians? Paul. He authored this letter, right? So Paul's writing, and here's what he says, verse 5. Who is Paul? Can you get the power of that? Who is Paul? And who is Apollos? Just ministers through whom you believed. We're just the conduit, guys. We're just the conduit, and the message goes through. It says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. You know, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So it's neither he who plants, it's anything, and he who waters, but it's God who gives the increase. And then it just says, we are all God's fellow workers. That's who we are. We're worker bees together. So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's where we started in 1 Corinthians 15. And I just want to look at one part of one phrase in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. I just want to look at the first five words. It says, now if Christ is preached, that's it. That's what we do, guys. We preach Christ. We preach about Jesus, God in the flesh, God incarnate, who came, he gives hope to the lost. He is our hope, and that is the theme of what we're about, if Christ be preached. So here we are, and we are here to believe in God. We are here to send missionaries, to be missionaries who are sent, to tell, to support, to pray, and encourage. And here's what I'm going to do. I just want to show you a little show and tell for a couple of minutes. I want you to know some of the people we've sent. This couple right here is Stephen and Susan Vinton. They are your missionaries in Tanzania. They have been there for years. We don't support them fully. We just send a little bit of money. I think we send a couple hundred dollars to Steve and Susan Vinton. And that goes to help them in their school building ministry, in their AIDS ministry, in whatever they do to share the gospel. You may remember, they were here in the spring, and they shared with us, and he talked with us, and we met their kids and had a great time of fellowship. This is Ray and Joe Tomlinson. You'll see these are the outdated pictures. There's some newer ones on the wall out there. But Ray Tomlinson has been with Hospital Chaplains International for years, decades. He's a pastor who became a chaplain, and they go to hospitals. They've recently, he was the Kaiser Hospital chaplain, and they fired him. He wasn't even being paid by them. He's a missionary. But they said, we don't want your services anymore. And so he is now working in nursing homes. Like Joanne Wilson said this morning, kind of the forgotten people, the nursing homes. And they are going and preaching the gospel. And Ray regularly tells us when he comes here how older folks who have lived their whole life are giving their lives to Christ. It's beautiful. You guys have seen Tim Thompson. He's been here. He has ministered here. He has been a chaplain for two or three decades in our area, about two decades for the Sierra Law Enforcement Chaplaincy. And Tim Thompson is a career military man. He has given his life to ministry. And he now has a team. I get to be on the team of chaplains in El Dorado County. And if you've ever read his newsletters, you know that it's crisis after crisis after crisis that he deals with. I'm asking you to see these faces, put a name with a face, and pray for. And praise God, we get to help these people by supporting them in some way. You guys know James and Mary Russell. Tom and Donna Russell come to church here. James and Mary are at Camp Bighorn back in Montana. And you know, it's interesting, all of these people that I'm talking about, they do two things. They both heal the sick and present the gospel. Tell you what, Tim Thompson works with broken, hurting people all the time. And he is counseling them and helping to bring healing into their lives. That's what missionaries do. The same with the Russells. Chuck and Joanne have been back there. Doug and Jeannie are back there right now with James and Mary. And you know how they reach out to handicapped kids in their camps and they do other things like that. We have the Penners. The Penners are the ones in Japan. They're translating the Bible into Japanese sign language so that people can hear the gospel. The next picture is the McAfees. And they represent, we have three missionaries, three ways we give to a group called In Faith Ministries. In Faith Ministries is the American Missionary Fellowship. It's the new name. And Tammy and Mitch McAfee have been up at Camp Forward for over a decade now. They and the Morrises, their son-in-law and daughter, serve the camp and do camping ministry up there. And we also support Camp Forward as a camp to give money so they can keep building buildings and keep grading dirt and keep plumbing going and stuff like that. A couple others real quick. This is Don and Mary Grable, Biblical Ministries Worldwide. They were 40 years in South America. 40 years they gave of their time, their life. They sacrificed their life to go to South America. Don and Mary Grable are now retired. They're, I think, in their 80s, live in Vallejo, California. They attend and serve in their church down there. You know what? These were missionaries of ours for many, many years, and they retired. And some people said, well, why are we still supporting these people when they're retired? That's right. They have no retirement. And so we keep them on because they've served the Lord with their lives, and they need our help. And we're not their sole support. I think one of them gets a little bit of Social Security and so on. These are the Gilberts. Many of you have met them. They were here just a couple of weeks ago. And the Gilberts have served in San Felipe for, man, it's 15-plus years down there. He's a retired Navy guy. Never spoke a word of Spanish until God got a hold of his heart and said, God's sending us to Mexico. They went out of a church in Oregon. They went down to Mexico. He uses his Navy retirement, invests his own money in. And then people come along, and God has used them to reach out to orphans. And now they have built this place called the Serenity House, and they are ministering to elderly people because there are very few retirement situations in Mexico that care for the elderly. And so what you have is a person's raised their family in Mexico. Oftentimes they have they've worked a career, and then there's nowhere to go. And so I just learned that there are now 6 men in their retirement home. Do you know what the people pay to stay in the retirement home? Nothing. John and Bonnie, with the support that they get, run the Serenity House. And so they make the rice and beans and chicken for everybody, and they serve them. And it's just, you know what it's doing? It's healing the sick and living the gospel, presenting the gospel. You folks know this guy, Marcelo Gonzalez. I just heard from Marcelo about 2 weeks ago. And Marcelo Gonzalez, you remember he was banned from the Middle East. They no longer give him visas to go in because of his decades of work taking the Bible in. So now God has given him a new way. And I'm going to say very little. It's very important that we, you know, preserve his confidentiality. But right now, they're going back, and they have found another way to take the Word of God into these countries. It's a $25,000 venture, and many churches are taking part, and it's hundreds and thousands of Bible that are going in. You have the Dos Santos that are on mercy ships. They go around Africa on the Africa Mercy, and they do surgeries. You know why? They do it all to be able to present the gospel. That's it. They are not going and doing surgeries just to be benevolent. What they do is they bring people in, they take off, you know, goiters and tumors, and they do cleft palate surgery, and doctors who come from America and other kind of first world countries and second world countries volunteer their time to go and do these surgeries, and to every person that they do surgeries, they share the gospel. They're healing the sick and presenting the truth of God. And then the Bridges. We haven't even gotten to all of them. I'm not going to go to all of our missionaries, but Al and Linda Bridges, Biblical Worldwide Ministries, BEE. And they go and they teach the Word of God in places all over the world, primarily in North Africa right now. And they have this curriculum that they're teaching. They're taking local people and teaching them how to teach the Word of God. You guys, these are the people that we have gotten to send to be part of. Mike? Yeah, thank you. Maybe you'll do it again sometime. If you pass these along, please. You can have another one. Thanks. Thank you. You can take more than one of these if you want. Did you guys get them? Thanks for the testimony, Mike. So what I am giving you is just a little piece of paper. Yeah, give. Did I give everybody one? There's probably extras running around. Yeah, if you have extras, that's good. Just keep them. You can pray for them. So here's what I'd like you to do. First of all, don't give me this back, okay? You've gotten the name of one of our missionaries. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to pray for them. I would like you to get to know their picture outside and just keep them in mind. Pray for courage and pray for boldness. Our missionaries get lonely. You guys, the Vintons are in Tanzania. There are no Americans there. There are no American luxuries there. They live in a house with none of the stuff that we live. All I want you to do is just get to know a couple of people that are our missionaries. Get to know them and pray for them. And maybe you could use this as a bookmark. You could take it home. You could... I won't say smoke it. We probably wouldn't want to do that. But you, whatever it takes, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to pray for these people. And as we leave today, you're going to be your own closing prayer. So you guys can pray together, and you guys can pray together. Take the missionaries, maybe pick one of those papers. You guys can pray together, 2-2-2, something like that. And just take a minute and pray for these that we have sent. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we had Gideon's today. Isn't it great to be part of this, these ones who were called to go? So God bless you. I'm glad. Enjoy praying together. Let's pray. We'll pray again, right?